In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. So today we speak about how to face this destructive spirit that fight against all of us, the spirit of failure. And I believe that none of us would say, I was never tempted to feel like I'm a failure. Even though we might not have good reasons to believe so, but this is one of the spirits that work aggressively against all human beings, make us all the time to feel like we are not sufficient enough. So how we resist and we conquer this spirit and contain it? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And a spirit of fear here is also the same spirit that makes us to always think about ourselves that I'm not good enough. And I'm not doing well, God doesn't like me, all this kind of thoughts. First, no? Yeah, quite good, you reminded me. Okay. So, first we have to define where this spirit comes to us, how it creeps to us, even at the highest moments of our lives where we feel like everything is going our way. Still, sometimes we question ourselves and we feel like, okay, I am not doing well. We can find six sources where this spirit of failure creep into our minds and hearts. The first source is the negativity that we tend to like go into. It's easier or more, we lean towards this, that all time feel negative. And this negativity can be shown in how we talk and how we behave. Negativity can be shown in any ways. And by the way, sometimes it happens that we talk in a certain way and then this spirit also comes to us. So it becomes like a cycle. We get attacked with this sense of negativity, we start talk about it, and then it creeps into our hearts and minds, and we get convinced about it, and then a cycle goes on and on and on. For example, this negativity can be shown in how we make harsh rebukes. And again, we can think of these, that even sometimes comes from the way we were raised. Sometimes under the pretense that someone is encouraging someone, then we put those people in comparison and say, oh, why you are not as good as this person? By saying this, actually, I'm communicating to you that you are not good. And again, we never found this in the way Christ speaks with anybody. I'm sure all of the disciples were different and performance of them varies a lot, but we never found him in any time saying, for example, to St. Thomas, why you cannot be like St. Peter? Why you are not as good as this person? Never happened. But again, this kind of harsh rebuke communicate a negativity, and this negativity makes a person feel that he is a failure. Belittling others, mocking them, making them feel like they are not good enough. Negative comparison, as I said, when we do this among even our children, and get a child to feel like he's not as good as his brother or his cousin. Expecting evil, and again, this kind of mood is very common, that even while things are going well, we always think that something bad is going to happen, even with no reason. Sometimes even it's common in our culture when somebody is laughing and is so happy and says, خير الله مجعله خير, يعني, I hope everything is going to be okay. Okay, we have good moments and people are happy, but still, we are expecting that because we are laughing, then we are expecting something bad to happen afterwards. The spirit of complaining, when we find some kind of comfort in always complaining about everything and everybody, this communicates negativity and eventually makes us even ourselves feel like we are failing because we belong to a failing community or a failing family or a church, etc. We find this negativity, how it made everybody feel like they are failure. When the 10 spies went to spy the promised land, they came back with a report, and the report is that, okay, we are not going to be able to make it. Just by saying this, made everyone to tremble and feel like we should not have departed from Egypt, we should go back again. because we are not good enough to inherit the promised land. This negativity communicated to everyone that they are failing already, while actually they were experiencing the power of God, getting them out from Egypt and making them to be the people of God, knowing how to worship Him. In behavior, this negativity also can be shown in giving up easily and the fear to initiate. Sometimes you find somebody come with a good idea and everybody around this person started to attack him or her. No, it's not going to work. Why? We do not want to initiate, because when I initiate, I take risk. And when I take risk, this means that I might fail. Deep inside me, I feel like I'm not good enough. I cannot make it. Then the easiest way is like to abort the plan, because this is safer. Let us play it safe, not to try, not to initiate. Yes, Nabil. This can be a talk by itself, but here the idea, Nabil. Those people, they went and made assessment. And actually, Moses, when he sent them, he did not send them to come back and say if we can go there or not. He told them, go and examine land and come with a report. They came with a report and added to it, we cannot make it. The question for them was if we can make it or not. Moses did not think twice, we will be able to inherit the promised land or not. But they came back saying, no, we can't. Even though there was a promise from God, you will be there. I am going to get you there. The two other spies, they came with the same report, but they said, we can, because we believe that God promised us we are going to be there. Of course, there is always a fine line between making something without thinking. But again, this idea about like, I have a promise from God, things are going in a certain way, and then all the time, all of my answers, always to find negatives and find reasons why not to try. It becomes a theme. And usually when people are there, they are there all the time. And every time you hear their response, you will see something negative. No, it cannot work. No, it's not going to work this way. So, yes. Their impression, yes. I shall come to this one. The complex of the grasshoppers. That we became like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We come to this also. It's another manifestation of this sense of like we are failing. Of course, the only way is to train ourselves to become positive. To train ourselves whenever we come to a place to see what is good in it. This is always something very common. You find somebody come to the church, the same church, the same class, and people come with different reports. Some people said, oh, I found this and this and this was very good. I like this so much. And you find another person coming to the same place and saying that this was incomplete, this was not perfect, this was not good, this was full of noise, etc., etc. Both of them, by the way, are speaking about facts and observations. But where your eyes fall makes whom you are. A person who comes to pick what is negative, what is missing, will always have this sense of like things are not going well. He will live always his life being negative, and this will make him more vulnerable to be like attacked with the spirit of failure. He will always have the impression about himself and others that they are not good enough. This is true, provided that at least I know the positive. Yani when the Lord Christ was correcting the seven angels in the book of Revelation, He said to them, I see in you 1, 2, 3, 4, these are all positive things. And I have against you these. And then giving the remedy. So while saying this, here we can say this is something that's realistic and fair. Because I see what is good in you, and I'm mentioning the negative, and I'm giving you the plan to correct. But if I just come and say, these are the negative things, then what? Okay, so no mention about something positive, the impression that things are not going well, and at the end, there is no remedy. I just like feel it's much easier to complain. By the way, the easiest thing for Dania, نحن complain. Everyone can find faults with others. It's very easy. In any place, no matter how good this place is, we still can find what is negative. But again, most of the time, people are like this. They are not looking for solutions. It's just like it's easier to complain. Make others feel like, oh, it's not good. It's not going enough. It's a reflection, by the way, of this temptation inside them because they feel like they are not doing well, then it's much easier to make everybody else to be like the same way. It's a very destructive spirit, really, when it takes over. To be positive and think of what is going well and what, yes, there are certain things need to change, but meanwhile, I can see. By the way, it is the same how we look to others. Can look at your spouse or a partner or people you are living with. Think of them in this way. They are bad people. They are not good. I had the bad luck to be with those people. And again, this is an attitude. Positivity is shown in many ways, and this is something, again, we can learn. No one is negative or positive by God's design or how he was created. This is something we teach ourselves, and we grow to become like this. How to encourage while correcting. Like when the Lord Christ was correcting the seven angels, he made known to them, most of them, these good things about you, and I can see that you have good characteristics about you. This needs correction. How to be able to give thanksgiving. And by the way, again, we all know this, that it is good to give thanks, but to be aware of it, just like walking out from the church today thinking that I came to a church and I prayed, I enjoyed being in fellowship with others, I was given a chance to serve God's people, I was able to communicate God's love to the children I was among today. All of these are reasons for us to be very thankful. Sometimes people come out from the church feeling so exhausted and tired and feel like I don't want to come here again. Why? Because what I collected in my heart all the day are the negatives, things we didn't know go well. I greeted 100 person in the church, but one of them turned his face away. I go back home with this person in mind who did not greet me, and he was not like he turned his face when I tried to say hi. And then that's my impression about the day. It was a miserable day because I was among people who are not loving and not kind. What about the 99 people who greeted you and were nice and kind? No, I don't think of them. So again, this tendency towards seeing what is negative and living with it, then at the end of the day, it's not a good community, it's not a good church, people are not loving. The people of the church, this label, whenever you hear it, something bad is going to happen afterwards. The people of the church. And then, yes, they are not loving, they are not good, they are not respectable, they are not. And again, where this comes from? It is us. It is not them. It is us. When I speak this way, I am just like, from my heart, I see others this way. Be careful. If you notice in your language this kind of labels, there is something you need to look at inside you, not in the community around you. Seeing the positive in others, expecting what is better, saying tomorrow is going to be better, we are going to improve, things are going to be better, because God wants things to be better. And actually, this is something that's, even though we always feel like things are getting worse around us, but the movement of history is towards what's better. Yani, you find Muslim dictators, they do not live, they do not stay. Yes, they can reign for a while, making the life of everyone miserable, but they come to an end, and what is good comes afterwards. Hitler can come for a time in history and destroy Europe, yes, but he will come to an end, and then after this, prosperity comes to the same continent, and we can find now like a country like Germany befriending everybody and leading the free world in Europe, at least. All of these say is what things are getting, usually the movement is towards what is positive and what is better. Even though we can find evil around us, but always thinking and believing God is working in history to make things better for the people generally. Keep trying always and feeling like even if I failed many times, I can still try and I will make it better next time. So this is one of the reasons why this spirit of failure attacks us. The second reason or the source is the wrong scale. Whenever we have wrong scales, usually this makes us feel like, okay, we are not good enough. Like, we know that without holiness, we cannot see God. But what is holiness? How we define holiness? most of us have this impression in our minds that holiness means that you are a celibate person, you live in the desert as a monk or as a nun. This is how holy people are. But we cannot be holy while living in the world. We cannot be holy while we are sinning. We cannot be holy even if we are married. And many of us still think that marriage is something that's like a weakness. If I think this way, then I will never be holy. And if I will never be holy, then I will never see the Lord. Because the verse says, holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Who actually defined holiness this way? Nobody. But we have this idea in our minds. Sometimes we believe it this way. If I have this scale that is wrong and I measure myself, then definitely I am not doing well. And this is saying something about the scale I'm using. Another thing also on a wrong scale is applying a universal scale for perfection. Meaning to be perfect means that you have to be in a certain shape, you perform in a certain way. Anything less than this is not good enough. Does God allow this on us? No, it is not. Does God say that unless the land will make 100-fold, it's not a good land? It's not true. God still calls the land that made 30 and 60 and 100 a good land. You know, this is very different, by the way, about Christ. His skills are too different. People who traded with the 5 talents and made 5, another person traded with 2, both of them, they received the same reward. It was never like, oh, you are not good enough, you are less than this person. Never. But we have this scale that tends to define perfection in a universal way. Why should not be defined this way? Every one of us is given a certain cup to fill. If your cup is like this, based on your talent and abilities and intelligence and family and everything, and you were able to fill it, another person has a big container like this, and this person filled it to its half. Absolute scale say what? This half of the container is much more than what is inside this cup. But before God's eyes, the person who managed to fill his cup like this is better than the other person who filled half of the container like this. So this absolute scale that measures everyone the same is not accurate and it should not be used. We are all servants. We serve differently. If you are all evaluated on the same scale, you all have to perform in a certain way, give a lesson in a certain way as per my understanding as a priest. All of you have to perform in this way, then what will happen? Definitely, no one will be doing well, because in my mind, this is how it should be done. And this is not right. You might give a lesson in a certain way, have your own way of tackling a subject, have your own way of communication, much, much different than what I know it or I do it. It doesn't make it wrong. Do not apply universal scale on other people, even on yourself in comparison with other people as well. Everyone has his own talent. Another scale is the wrong scale of success. How you define success? Success sometimes is defined in our minds as, okay, when the children are married and I have a certain, this person has certain education or I enjoy a certain financial status. But actually, this is not right. Like one of them is defining that unless the children are married, then there is something missing. في مصر حتى يقول لك هيكمل طبعا كلمة دي is not common هنا يقول لك إيه هيكمل نص دينه لما يتجوز As if like you are imperfect until you marry. Then who said that? Sometimes when we put pressure on our children, whenever they are at the age of marriage, because they have to marry, otherwise there is something missing, there is something going wrong with them. This makes them all the time feel like, okay, we are failing, because we are not married yet. And more the days and months and years pass, and they are not married, the stress is mounting. And they feel like, even though they might be very successful in their career, doing very well in their community, serving in the church, still, because they are not married, they are not good enough. Who made this? We make this pressure on our children unnecessarily. يقول لك أنا عايز أطمن عليك. طب ما أنت طمنت خلاص ما طمن عليه ليه يعني؟ he's doing well, he's doing okay, or she's doing يعني fine. مش لازم يتجوز عشان تطمن عليه, ويعني بعد ما تتجوز هتطمن عليه. Again, it's a scale that we invented and adds pressure على الناس and make them feel like they are not doing well and they are missing something. And again, unless I get my son or my daughter to graduate from the medical school, then he is not doing. كل العيال you go into pre-med. Why? وبعد كده اشتغلوا حاجة تانية خالص. But why they should be all them? Who said that success means that you have to be a doctor? Again, sadly, this is our scale that makes people feel like they are not good enough because they did not get into the medical school. And financial status, being rich. What is rich, actually? How much makes a person rich? Yeah, and if you think richness is at certain level, what is richness, actually? And again, this varies a lot. I believe that rich person who needs the least, not who consumes the most. If I feel like I have what makes me content, I'm rich. Even if my financial situation is to be in comparison less than other people. But again, when we define success there and we do not get there, then we are failing. We're not doing well. All of them are wrong scales. As I said, God has different scales. He defined good, gives good to the land that made 30 and 60 and 100. The laborers who worked for 1 hour, he gave them the same wage like those people who started the day. And those who traded with their talents, did 5 or 2, all of them were good in his eyes. We need to learn this, that we apply different skills on people. Sometimes when we say to our children, أنا كنت بطلع الأول في المدرسة, which is, يعني, God knows if this was the truth ولا لا. What if هو مش بيطلع الأول في المدرسة? This means he's not good? If one makes his very best and he gets an A, and another child makes his best and gets a B, is this person who gets a B is bad, or not good enough, or not as good as the one who got an A? Provided that he did his best, we need to change the way we think of these scales. It doesn't mean anything. It meant I did my best. This is good enough. We should celebrate the person. Make him feel like you are successful because you got what all of you can get, your potential. Sadly, unless you are A in everything, then you are not doing well. Another reason, a source for, yes, Amin. Definitely you will know, Amin. You will know, Yani. We know ourselves, Yani. After time, Kida, we know that this is the max I can get. You can see the person did his very best, he studied very hard, and this is what usually he gets. It's fine, that's it. I can see the performance. You did well. Okay. The test is something else. Okay. The third resource of this spirit of failure is this guilt, the pathological one. Guilt to a certain extent is good, because this is, again, makes us to want to change, and makes us to feel angry against our shortcomings. We try better. But when I move with the pathological guilt, that comes from having a selective memory for faults. I only remember what is wrong and what is bad and what I did not do well. This is not fair to yourself or to others around you. When you have this tight conscience that makes you feel guilty on anything, you came back home after a long day and you had to drink or eat something at 12 or 5. The next day you need to take communion and then you feel troubled all night because I had to drink something at 12 or 5. Who said that God is going to stand holding in his hand like this kind of lists and saying, oh, you did it wrong, cannot take communion tomorrow. Again, we learn or we teach this to ourselves, get our children, they make them all the time feel like they are not good enough. Perceiving wrong in everything, being obsessed with right and wrong all the time. Again, another way also that makes us to acquire this guilt is exaggeration. A small thing becomes a big deal and we evaluate things out of proportion. And this makes us feel all the time that we are bad people. I like have this label in our minds about myself. I am a bad person. That's it. Sometimes we accept the rebuke of Satan as if like this is the Holy Spirit. What is the difference between Satan's rebuke and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit rebuke? By the way, Satan rebukes us when we sin as well, but with the aim to make us to feel in despair. Satan usually rebukes this way, unspecific, meaning like you are bad, okay, with no hope. You are not going to change. This is whom you are. No plan for correction. Nothing you can do will make you good. Even like you confessed yesterday, you came today, taking communion, attend the liturgy and serve it. You go back home, you are a bad person still. Doesn't matter. And a focus on the person, not on the fault, on the mistake. You are bad. It's not what you did. It is whom you are. This is the rebuke of Satan. Ah, of course. Yeah, this is one of the God doesn't want, cannot stand you. You cannot pray. How you go to church and serve while you did this and this and this? The Spirit of God actually, when he rebukes for a certain mistake. This was not right. You have all of the hope in the world for acceptance of God, and this is the plan. Go and meet your father of confession and tell him this and this, and this is a mistake was done, but you're a good person. Here is the difference. One will make you feel like, I want to change, I want to make things better. Another one make you feel like, I don't want to do anything because there is no hope, there is no remedy for whom I am. The solution is to discern. Not every voice you hear in your ears or your mind says that you did a mistake is from God. Sometimes there is no mistake whatsoever. We all stand in the liturgy and we all get distracted, by the way, including Abuna who stands ala al-masbah. If this is a confession, then hear it. Yes, we struggle ala al-mazbah also to be focused in what we are doing. This doesn't make you in anything make you like rejected by Rabbina. Makes you a human being. We struggle and we try to collect our minds and get our thoughts into what we are doing. Doesn't make you feel like, oh, I should not have attended this liturgy today. God rejected me today because I was not able to keep my mind focused. Your attempts to be focused, your struggle to keep your mind in one place will be considered as a work for God. God will reward you for it. This is not my sayings. This is the sayings of the fathers who experienced it the same and gave us this kind of words of comfort. Sometimes I hear some of the servants give this lesson to the kids. How do you dare? You stand before God and you are distracted in something else. And I ask the servant, you are not distracted like him? I am distracted. When I pray, I try my very best, but I still get distracted. Then why you tell your children this? If you are distracted, then you are not praying. Who said that? Don't repeat something. You heard it from someone if you are not living it. Don't say something to the kids, make them feel like you are in your seventh heaven, and then they are just struggling in the mud. We are all human beings. We all get tempted. We all try. We all hope in God's mercy. Keep this in mind so people will not feel like they are less than you. They cannot do what you are doing. We are all sinners. We are all need and hope for God's mercy. The fourth reason source of spirit of failure is being faint-hearted. يَخْشُهُ بِالْعَرَبِي صِغَرَ النَّفْسِ. صِغَرَ النَّفْسِ is not humbleness, by the way. It's when I focus on myself without paying attention to God. You cannot put any kind of like good evaluation if you always think about you and your performance without thinking about God's correction and what he can do with his grace to make things at the end to be meaningful. This complex of the grasshoppers in our own eyes, sadly, when people think that, you know, the 10 spies, when they went to the promised land, they came back with a report. The report was what? People were giants. And we came, we thought, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers in our own eyes. كُنَّا كَالْجَرَادْ فِي أَعْيُنْ أَنفُسْنَا. This complex is what, for example, made the Egyptian team in the World Cup to lose. They are grasshoppers in their own eyes. Whenever we take the ball, we play backward. We don't play forward. Because we cannot score. We cannot score. There is no way we can score on the other people who are giants. This complex makes them failures because they think that we cannot be good enough. Sometimes we are like this. We cannot score. We cannot do something that our God will be proud of. There is no way I would think in my mind that God will say at me, I am proud of you. Well done. When we acquire this mindset, we make ourselves little and we have no hope to be better than this. I remember this janitor, actually, this lady I met one time in Egypt, and she said, you know, Abuna, I did not learn how to read. And all of the time of my youth, I was always like thinking, when I'm going to read? How I'm going to read? And she said one time I went to a trip with the church, my church, and I stood before the sea and I said a prayer. She said, I asked God, said, if you were able to open a road in the sea and make your people to cross, why not to open a road in my mind and make the information and knowledge to cross as well? Very deep. And she said, I said in my mind, if God was able to open a road in the sea, he can open also a road in my mind so I can acquire information and knowledge. And she said, I tried and I learned it. And now all the time, she was a janitor, I met her in one of the hospitals. And whenever she is done with his work, she sits aside and she gets something to read. Very impressive person. I will never forget her. Why she was able to do this? Because she did not have this complex. I am very little, I cannot do anything. No, I can, God can, and I will work with him. And one day, I will get into what I want to achieve. This is something that's very comforting to see. Don't surrender to this complex. Again, makes us also feel like we are feeling satisfied with the minimal. Just get by. Don't settle with like the minimal. أقل حاجة وخلاص يعني. This is one of the things that you always like was get on my يعني كده nervous whenever in a church. Thank God away from our blessed church. In Egypt, like أي حاجة هي بتاعت الكنيسة. هو بتاعت الكنيسة دي أي حاجة. هو الكنيسة always has to be like the أي حاجة. We never settle with the minimal in our homes. We try to get the best. So why we sometimes we are okay with this? We do the minimal for the kinesa. And this is one of the things, again, we agreed on. You cannot perform as a Sunday school servant less than what you do outside. It's not acceptable. If you can do better outside, definitely you can do the same here. We are not asking you to do something extra or beyond. Settling with the minimal makes the spirit of failure to extend in everyone. Because this is the place, the church, where the minimal is okay. Less than 50% is fine. It's not fine, and it is not right, and we should not be settled with it. Look at here at Nehemiah and how he encouraged the people who were all of them feeling like they are failures. He went to them and he told them, and I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. He reminded them with whom? God, and what God is doing with him. And this encouraged them and motivated them to start. If Nehemiah looked at them and said, look at yourself. Look at how now you're sitting doing nothing, accepting the city to be in ruin. What kind of people are you? Where this will get them? Nowhere. But he put them in the same picture with God. And then, of course, we and him can do anything. And then they said, okay, let us rise and build. He was able to lift them up. The fifth source of the spirit of failure is seeing only those against us. At any given moment, there will be forces working against you, and there will be forces working with you. Where your eyes will be focused is what will determine the results. Like in the story of Elisha and Gehazi, when the army of Aram came, Gehazi only saw the army of Aram, the enemies. Elisha was able to see the heavenly host. That's why he prayed for God to open the eyes of Gehazi so he can see. Gehazi trembled and was scared. Elisha was so brave and so confident. Nothing is going to happen because I see who is with me. So whenever we are facing a challenge and we are to evaluate it, we have to be careful to always see whom is with us. I found this picture on the internet, and I like it so much. This is a cloud of witnesses. Imagine all of those saints and angels witnessing our struggle, looking upon us, being ready to come and aid us in order for us to be victorious as well. We always say, Satan did this. The enemy is doing that. The devils are doing this. What about the angels and the saints who are also there to be with us and on our side? Who is stronger and who at the end is willing to help? We have this cloud of witnesses. We have the heavenly host. We have the church on our side. We have the mysteries of God that is granted to us. We have your family who is also willing and trying to help you and make you to be successful. All of these should make us to feel like we have the elements of success. We can do better. We can do good. We can get over all of the obstacles that we face in the world if we can see who is with us, not only who is against us. The last source of the spirit of failure is the boundary of responsibility. What do I mean by this? If we don't have clear boundaries of what is your responsibility, where it ends, you will never be able to evaluate what you are doing. And then if you are like, things are confused, then you always feel like, if I don't get the results, then I am not good enough. Like, for example, you are responsible to come to the Sunday school, preparing a lesson, preparing for your preparing a lesson, praying for your children, and deliver a message. But you are not responsible to make anyone good or bad. This is something else. Your role ends there. You visited them, you called them over the phone, you prayed for them, you prepared a lesson, you came, attended the liturgy, and then you delivered. How many people responded? It's not your business. God is not going to give you a wage based on how many people attended today, how many people benefited today. It is not actually your responsibility. So here again, every day you come to the church, you have what it takes for you to be rewarded. I did my part. I prepared a lesson. I gave the sermon. How many people listened? It is what it is. جي عشرة جي مية الناس كانوا بيسمعوا ما بيسمعوش. It's not your business. Rabbana is not going to wait for all the people to be in the class and listen to you in order for you to be rewarded. This is very important for us to understand. You are responsible for the struggle, not for the victory. You are responsible for preaching, not for people to accept the message. You are responsible yourself to change, not other people around you. You are responsible to offer God's love to others, even if they do not accept it. Here, by defining this clear boundary, you will always feel like I did something good, because all of this is again still under my control. I can do this. I cannot be victorious. I cannot make others to accept the word of God. I cannot make them to love the church or love God. Yes, but who said you are responsible for that? It is very important for us to understand this. If the boundaries are confused, you will always feel like you are a failure. I have been giving this class now for years and no one is changing. I am giving sermon after sermon, no one is listening. Your responsibility is to give the sermon, not for the people to listen. It is something we have to carry on every day, to resist the sense of failure, of failing. I'm not doing well. And thanks be to God, His scale is different. It's so kind, merciful. He wants to reward and give wage for us, even if you work, I'm not so the minimum, yani the best you can. This is still will be good enough. May the Lord to give us this always sense of victory and of success, being accepted by Him. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.